Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Thomas Levy, who is a board-certified cardiologist as well as an attorney. He is the author of 10 other groundbreaking medical books, including Curing the Incurable, Vitamin C, Infectious Disease and Toxins, Primopathia, and Death by Calcium. I really enjoyed reading his book because many of the things he is emphasizing are so important for all physicians to know, especially the danger of iron supplementation, calcium supplementation, and I would like to add one, too much vitamin K supplementation, or especially around the time of surgery because of its propensity for blood clots. He has written a book called Hidden Epidemic, Silent Oral Infections Cause Most Heart Attacks and Breast Cancers. We've covered this topic in the past with other authors, specifically that the spirochete in periodontal disease is also found in the arterial plaques in the vessels that then have been scientifically proven to be involved in the clots leading to heart disease and probably stroke as well. So I applaud Dr. Levy for putting this all together. It is a really, really important thing for all physicians to know about because it is actually preventable. It can be treated with Pepto-Bismol. That's one of the best treatments for keeping the spirochete at bay, and we've been doing this for many years in Atlanta. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here, Dr. Cole.
Would you like to give a little bit of your background, in addition to what I've already said about how you got interested in integrative medicine?
Well, I don't know. Integrative medicine sort of ambushed me about some 21, 22 years ago. I was practicing adult cardiology in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. Wasn't especially happy for a number of different reasons. And then I met Dr. Hal Huggins, who has since passed in 2014, I'm sorry to say. But Dr. Hal Huggins is probably what you would call the father of biological dentistry. He led the anti-amalgam movement. He also did a lot of work with root canals. And in the course of asking me to come to his clinic and later to be a consultant to his clinic, I saw such a wide array of chronic degenerative diseases, horrible diseases, neurological diseases improve after what Dr. Huggins did. I knew I had to study more about it. And one of those things that he did was give large doses of intravenous vitamin C as well. So that sort of began my journey. And a couple years later, after seeing all the horrible stuff Dr. Huggins was subjected to by people trying to make his life miserable legally, I decided to go ahead and get my law degree as well, more of a self-preservation.
That was very smart. I wanted to say, I've been doing this radio show for 22 years, and I've had Dr. Huggins on a couple of times. He was truly a pioneer and had such an incredible attack by the standard, allopathic dental community, including threatening his license and all sorts of other attacks. So I think getting your law degree was a very, very wise thing to do. So would you like to talk a little bit about the disease that Dr. Huggins really made public, starting with periodontal disease and then going on with the other pathological conditions that most people actually don't even know exist? I mean, I think very few people who get root canals are given true informed consent about what can happen.
No, they're not given remotely informed consent. Dr. Huggins, in my experience, shined a strong light on the fact that in addition to the toxicity of mercury and fillings, what he did that I think was far more important was he shined a light on the fact that whenever you harbor any sort of chronic infection in your oral cavity, whether it's infected gums, periodontal disease, an infected tooth, either a root canal tooth or a tooth that has just become infected but still doesn't hurt, which is the thrust of the new book, and infected tonsils, which is something that we haven't talked about a lot. Then I saw that when these issues were addressed and so many things started to improve, I said, what the heck is going on? And it was a result, obviously, of starting out with Dr. Huggins and then later on reviewing the literature and seeing everything that was in there that I reached my own conclusion, and I give the foundation for it in my book. It's not just something I pulled out of thin air, which is all disease, 100% of disease, is due directly to increased oxidative stress in various concentrations, in various locations, in various tissues and organs in your body. And it's only the number and percent and degree to which your essential biomolecules, your lipids, carbohydrates, fats, etc., are oxidized that you're sick. Because when you oxidize a biomolecule, whether it's something simple or whether it's a big protein or enzyme, you largely inactivate it, most commonly completely inactivate it. So you lose the function of that biomolecule. And it also turns out that toxins from any source all induce their toxic effect by oxidation. Oxidation is when a molecule loses electrons. Reduction is when the molecule regains those electrons. So there's a very clear display in the literature showing, when you put it all together, that all diseases are too many toxins causing increased oxidative stress in the tissue. Then this leads us to the natural conclusion in integrative medicine, not so much recognized in mainstream medicine, that there has to be a two-pronged approach to dealing with disease. The first part of it is you have to address the new toxins coming into the body on a daily basis. One of the most memorable things Dr. Huggins ever told me was you can't dry off while you're still in the shower. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, you can't just repair damage unless you address what's causing the damage and renewing the damage on a daily basis. So the one prong is you stop the new toxins from coming in. The other prong is you get as much of an antioxidant presence, heralded by vitamin C, but not exclusively, as much of an antioxidant presence in the diseased tissues as possible. And the more of those molecules that you take from oxidized state to non-oxidized or reduced state, you regain biological function, you detox the body, and you approach your optimal health.
I don't know whether or not you investigated anything about what I do, but for the last 25 years, I've been treating over 3,000 women with defective silicone breast implant toxicity. Now, you want to talk about toxins in the body. All of these, after about 8 years, the Dow Corning engineering data show that these implants start to leak, and there's a whole list of chemicals, many of them carcinogens and neurotoxins, that are released into the body along with silicone, which is a known adjuvant. And 100% of these women have periodontal disease, 100%. And many lose their teeth. Many have increased risk of heart attack and stroke. They have osteoporosis. They have leaky gut. They have many, many of the diseases that they have seizures. They have many, many of the diseases that you outline in your book connected with periodontal disease. And most of them have very high C-reactive protein cardiacs. So this is a perfect laboratory in which to study how primary toxicity can lead to all of these other diseases.
No, no question about it, Dr. Kolb. I mean, it's, I think, a bit of a revelation to many docs, even those that work in the integrative community, to grasp the simple but very profound concept is that all toxins, 100%, cause their damage by promoting oxidation, either directly or indirectly. And if it doesn't promote oxidation, it isn't toxic. It's really that simple. You know, toxicity is pro-oxidant, period, end of story. And if you have a something that's pro-oxidant but not recognized as a toxin, well, it's just a matter of semantics, because if it is pro-oxidant in nature, it is toxic in nature. Pro-oxidant and toxin need to be considered synonyms. And
the other thing
what the
that,
book po- go ahead. I'm sorry.
The other thing that I wanted to emphasize is biotoxins. There's chemical toxins, and we're all exposed to them. But 100% of women tested with defective silicone implants had candidiasis, and about half of them also have mold biotoxins, often in their sinuses. And these mold and yeast produce aldehydes, alcohols, and neurotoxins that in especially 25% of the population can't get rid of mold biotoxins. So basically, then you have bacterial biotoxins, which you talk about in your book, and altogether, all of these biotoxins create a great oxidative stress as well.
Yes, and I would add to that the fact that all infections cause their damage by promoting and increasing the amounts of toxins and pro-oxidant substances in the body. And really, the only time an infection causes you damage that's not directly related to oxidation is when you have something that's, let's say, multiplying near a lymphatic channel or an arterial channel, and it blocks the lymphatics physically, or it erodes into the blood vessel wall, and you get bleeding, then you have other reasons the infection can kill you or incapacitate you. But basically, at the cellular level, all infections cause their problems by increasing oxidation and producing toxins.
And that's why these women hurt all over. They have bone pain. Their teeth hurt. Their entire body hurts because their entire body is in oxidative stress.
Yes, absolutely. That brings it to the next point of symptoms. If you have a negative symptom, you know, something that's bothering you, not something that's making you happy, but if you have a negative symptom, a pain, a headache, an arthritis, an arthralgia, just along the same lines that all disease is varying degrees of oxidative stress inside the cell most prominently, but also outside the cell in varying degrees and varying amounts, the same thing applies to a symptom. A symptom is a direct manifestation of even further increase in oxidative stress in a given area of the body. You know, we're a lot more than just sick or well. There's a whole continuum in between. And you can, let's say, be free of arthritic pain, but still have arthritis in the sense that all it will take is a little bit of increased oxidative stress to push you into an arthritic crisis or an arthritic symptom. So it's not until you get yourself really optimized with regard to your redox balance. How much reduction versus how much oxidation do I have in my body? You're always going to have oxidation because physiologically, your cell metabolism produces oxidants, no doubt about that. But you want to keep it to the minimal physiological level to optimize your long-term health and live the longest and live the healthiest.
Yeah, when we study detoxification, there's actually two important phases, and if the last phase is blocked, then free radicals go sky high. So it's very, very important when you're detoxing people to understand the detox pathways and also to understand what detoxification defects they may have that are genetically based. What we're finding with the silicone implant patients is that most of them have a detoxification defect. So they come in with heavy metal toxicity and other forms of problems like MTHFR, of course, causes problems with folate and B12 active forms, methylated forms, and so they can have high homocysteines. So you have to treat the pre-existing detoxification defects and all of the problems that they accrued up to the point where their implants started getting them symptoms. And 30% of the population have detoxification defects. So you can expect that what I found is that 100% of women with ruptured implants have symptoms. But when they're leaking, only the patients with detoxification defects have symptoms.
Well, the other thing, too, and I emphasize this in a lot of my writing, is that detoxification in and of itself, without any other consideration, isn't always desirable in the sense that rate is very important. I make the point that detoxification is also retoxification. So you have to design a program that lets the toxin or promotes the excretion of the toxins at a rate at which the antioxidant capacity in your blood and lymphatics can prevent new uptake of these toxins on their way out of the body, because 100% of the toxins that get liberated do not go out in the bile, in the urine, in the stool. A certain percentage is always going to get recirculated and redistributed, so you have to have a sound nutrient antioxidant status in the blood and in the tissues. Basically, if you're detoxing well, you're getting rid of X amount of toxins, but you feel well in the process. It's not good to do a detox chronically at a rate that's going to have you feeling lousy. So even though you're getting your toxins out, you're still doing new damage to the body. It's like I say, you don't want to burn down the house to get rid of the roaches. You know, so same thing with the body. You don't want to destroy the immune system in the process of supporting it.
And anytime you do detoxification, you have to support the liver and the kidneys. If you don't, then you get skin rashes because the toxins start coming out through the skin and react that way. So milk thistle products or other equivalent liver protective supplements, not everybody can take milk thistle. Like, for example, people with interstitial cystitis can't take it. And we have to actually treat the IC, which is an intracellular infection. But basically protecting the kidney and the liver is very important, so you don't get elevated kidney or liver functions while detoxifying.
Yes, no doubt about that. I agree completely. And this is all part in supporting those organs. You're actually supporting directly or indirectly the antioxidant capacity of the body, just more in one area than another. So I might say that this whole idea of toxins and toxin repair, that's the twofold thing to good health, is get rid of or stop new toxins from coming in and repair the old toxin damage. And any effective, optimally effective protocol incorporates these two components. And there's a very wide different way of doing it. But what I discovered in the course of writing this book absolutely stunned me, and that was the fact that I was with a friend who was getting some dental work done, and she got a 3D x-ray, 3D cone beam imaging x-ray of her mouth, and there was a huge, grossly abscessed tooth that had completely eroded away the bony floor of the sinus and was causing an accumulation of pus and mucus in the sinus. And I said, "Cindy, does that tooth hurt?" She said, "No." I said, "You sure? You chew on it. Does it hurt?" And in an instant, I realized that somebody could have an infected tooth that I always thought, and I talked to many dentists, they always thought would be horribly symptomatic. But you can have chronically abscessed teeth that are just as infected as an acute abscessed tooth. And in fact, that's the rule rather than the exception. And they will destroy your health just as rapidly as the acutely abscessed tooth. And as the title of the book says, most commonly in the form of a heart attack or in the ladies in breast cancer.
I want to share with you something that I did, because I developed the periapical abscess on x-ray. It was asymptomatic above a root canal. And I was guided to go ahead and do a treatment that you may or may not have heard. It was Dr. Anderson's treatment. He was one of the original holistic doctors who developed a very interesting treatment technique for increasing the immune system. Of course, I had 30 grams of silicone leak out of one side of my breast implant, so my immune system, especially my T-cell immunity, was down and had been down since then, and, of course, is a chronic problem. I have to keep taking immune supplements and doing detox for all of that. But in any case, I was guided to do something called an anal heater. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Dr. Anderson got it FDA approved for the treatment of hemorrhoids, and actually in China, they had anal cancer disappearing with the use of the anal heater. It's about the size of your little finger. It goes in. You treat for 20 minutes at a time. I just keep treating. I just keep resetting it. And that PAC disappeared completely. It really increases your immunity incredibly, because evidently a lot of the acupuncture meridian for the immune system is in the anus. And, of course, you can't really put needles there. And so that's how I treated my PAC, and it was treated successfully.
Well, along those lines, too, is PAC, periapical, CAP, chronic apical periodontitis.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, okay. Which of those who are listening is a area of chronic infection around the apex of the tooth, readily visible on quality 3D x-ray, but not always on 2D x-ray, which is an important
right.
point. And so for a lot of people out there, and the book covers this, how do you determine if your root canals are damaging your health? Because it's very clear, we know 100% of root canals are infected or have pathogens in them, but we also know 100% of root canals in different patient populations don't always cause heart attacks or other chronic diseases. So it's a logical question as to who would fall into the category of getting a root canal and getting a heart attack 6 months later, or getting a root canal and doing fine for 2 or 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, and I suggest that these studies be done because they haven't been done yet, you determine or you help determine whether a root canal or a chronically infected tooth is damaging you badly by serial x-rays. Does that CAP mm-hmm. decrease in time? Like in your case, you found something that decreased it. And in concert with that, this is very important, you need the indices of body-wide inflammation. Probably the best test is the high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. When you have mm-hmm. something, a chronic infection in your body that's causing systemic aggravation, inflammation in all your tissues, almost always this is going to result in an abnormal elevation of your CRP. And like mm-hmm. everything else, there's a range. So, you know, you have very upsetting levels, you have moderately concerned levels, and you have levels that severely reduce your concern. So, for someone who wants to completely protect their health, root canals should not be done. It should come out and should be mm-hmm. taken care of and cleaned out properly. However, there's lots of people out there that have root canals, and they feel good, and they chew well, and they hate going to the dentist, and they don't want to spend a lot of money, and they want to say, well, tell me what I need to do to not just go straight to the dentist and have these things taken out. And that's mm-hmm. then what I call, you need to have the three-dimensional x-ray. You need to see if there's any degree of CAP, abscess, on the tip of the tooth. And in root canals, you're going to see some degree of that over 90% of the time. But it is a matter of degree. There's a lot of difference between a half a millimeter of CAP and half a centimeter. Okay, and they have tremendously different impact on the systemic health. So you do that test serially. You make sure your CRP is in the normal range. You make sure your metabolic syndrome blood work is good. That's glucose and the triglycerides and the cholesterol and all of those things in concert with the CRP. Also, you know, if you have a root canal and everything looks good, you should still be, in my opinion, much more fastidious, much more concerned with getting a cardiac workup, doing the stress test, doing the other test that the cardiologist recommends or your internist mm-hmm. or general practitioner, making sure that those tests are coming in normal right now. So if something happens down the road, you develop a new symptom, the x-ray looks a little bit worse when you follow it up 6 months down the road, then you repeat some of those cardiac tests. I mean, the stress test, for example, is far from being a perfect test, but there's a lot of people out there, if they were stress test on a logical periodic basis, the beginnings of significant coronary artery disease before having a heart attack would show up. So the patient has to be proactive, too. If you just say, doctor, Mr. Physician, Mr. or Mrs. Dentist, do what you will, take care of me, your health is going to suffer. You have to be proactive. We have a lot of information out there. More and more people are assimilating it, and you have to have a dentist or a physician who will talk to you. If they don't talk to you, if they can or won't answer their your questions, get the heck out of there right away.
Yeah, the other thing that we see sometimes as a cause for breast cancer, I treat a lot of breast cancer here, is a root canal on the breast meridian. Anything that lowers the energy of the breast can lead to cancer, toxic chemical, infectious, geopathic stress, and most common now is a smart meter, of course, electromagnetic. And emotional is often the primary cause of first breast cancer, whereas electromagnetic is usually the cause of secondary breast cancer, especially these days with the smart meter. But dental does exist, and if there's a root canal on the breast meridian, getting rid of that root canal is very important in order to help increase the energy in the breast.
Absolutely. And what I would emphasize, because more and more people and dentists in general know about the importance of these meridians, but I think it's also important to emphasize that the meridian is what I call a magnifier, a multiplier. You mm-hmm. can certainly get breast cancer or have any of a large number of other problems from root canals and infected teeth that are not on meridians. But that
right.
doesn't mean that that you have one on a meridian, then it's even far more likely to be having substantial negative impact. Along the same lines, and it's, you know, let's say somebody out there is listening and they have breast cancer or they have a breast lump, and maybe they're reluctant to go straight to their dentist, which they should, and get a 3D x-ray to look for these silent asymptomatic infections. It's important that attention is paid not only to these infections, but to the fact that slipped my mind just a second.
That's okay.
It's important when you have a breast lump and you want to be convinced about the mouth, go get a thermogram. And when you mm-hmm. get a thermogram, have it extend from the breast up into the neck area. And you will be amazed at the number of times you see red streaks going straight down from the teeth into the lymphatics of the breast. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that increased red is increased temperature. Increased temperature in this context is always infection. And
it
you
is,
have
yeah.
a beautiful picture of the correlation and the cause and effect. I hate when they start saying correlation and risk. They do this because mm-hmm. they don't want to change. The evidence is now overwhelming that it's cause and effect. Root canal treated teeth and periodontal disease cause heart attacks greater than 90% of the time. They come down mm-hmm. to the breast and they cause breast cancer. And by extension,
right.
this increased inflammation throughout the body, they stoke and start and promote all known chronic degenerative diseases because, as we said at the outset, all chronic degenerative diseases are varying degrees of increased oxidative stress in the different tissues and organs in your body.
Let's talk a little bit about how much the population suffers with sinus disease, because it is really prevalent, mainly because the fungal component is hardly ever treated, even though that Mayo Clinic study showed that 95% of chronic sinusitis patients had yeast in their sinuses. Doctors just haven't caught on how important treating all of the pathogens are.
Well, that's a good point. In the course of researching this book, I was a little surprised, not shocked, but a little surprised to find out that the vast majority, not just a little bit, but the vast majority of patients with chronic sinusitis problems that have not had a different diagnosis, like let's say a physical abnormality in their nose that keeps things from draining, but,
yeah.
but you know, right. polyps, et cetera.
That's where plastic surgery comes in. We can get rid of those polyps.
If they don't have an identified physical problem associated with it causing it, the vast majority of these, when you do a three-dimensional cone beam exam, which should be routine part of your examination, we're now learning,
mm-hmm.
you find is these chronically infected teeth in the maxilla, the upper jaw. And
right.
they very clearly, directly relate to, as I said with my friend, I saw it where it was eroding through the bone of the sinus. But it doesn't have to go
mm-hmm.
through the bone. If you have a chronically infected tooth, you will feed and seed and promote chronic sinusitis, whether you've eroded through the floor of the bony floor of the sinus or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can be even more dangerous if you have chronically infected sinuses higher in the skull, because it's not that much more inflammation that can lead to the venous clotting up in the skull. We've seen that with infections around the nose and the eyes and in those sinuses. The vessels can get infected that lead back into the brain.
No, there's no question. When you, not only just from a chronic sinusitis, but from other things, anything that causes an infection in
trauma
your oral cavity or in your face,
yeah.
skin infections, etc. If you start getting into those venous back paths to the brain, that's a very serious problem. You know, you had mentioned earlier, too, about fungi and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important, and I don't think it's well recognized, that these chronic oral infections, I mean, everyone's oral infection is different, because each one of these infections, and they have the studies to show it, is typically colonized by up to or exceeding 50 different types of pathogens. And they can be fungi, they can be virus, they can be protozoa,
mm-hmm.
they can be bacterial, yep. and all of these different things mix up their own unique soup, if you will,
mm-hmm.
which is another reason, one more reason, why one root canal can be horribly toxic and another root canal can be minimally toxic. For the most part,
mm-hmm.
how toxic a root canal has to do with the status of your immune system, how technically well the root canal was done, and whether or not you have well-regulated sex hormone and thyroid function. It's incredible that when your estrogen or testosterone, depending on your sex, gets chronically low, or when you
mm-hmm.
have just a little bit of hypothyroidism, low thyroid function, infections in the body, and also I'm specifically talking about the teeth, rather than stay put, the modulating factor of those hormones and their deficiency allows these infections to very readily disseminate. We have data from Dr. Broda Barnes back in the 70s that showed, and this is pretty amazing, at least it was to me when I ran across it, when he had his patients well controlled on desiccated thyroid, and he was following 1,500 patients over a 20-year period. Out of those 1,500 patients, and all of them were, many of them were smokers and had bad dietary habits and you name it, had all the risk factors, but he wasn't following that. He was just making sure their thyroid function was properly adjusted. Over
mm-hmm.
a 20-year period, only four of those 1,500 patients had heart attacks. Based
That's
on the
incredible.
Framingham study, it should have been 70, 75, 80.
Right.
And then
yeah.
he had a lot of patients then that later dropped out of the studies, and large numbers of them very quickly got heart attacks as well. So it does appear very clearly, and it would be my logical conclusion, that you put yourself at an enormous risk of coronary artery disease and heart attack when your thyroid function is not tightly regulated. And the unfortunate thing, this is discussed in
mm-hmm.
the book as well, is regular thyroid tests don't do it. You have to look at...
You need to take a temperature,
T3,
basal metabolic temperature, too.
That, too, but you need to look at reverse T3. Reverse T3 indicates whether or not the cells in your body have normal thyroid function in them, because 80% of the T4 in your body is converted to T3 outside of the thyroid gland, all the different cells of the body with deiodinases. So this needs to be checked, and it needs to be followed very carefully, because I've come to believe, and I think realize, that getting tightly regulated thyroid function is one of the most critical factors in your long-term health, for the reasons that I've discussed.
And I want to add that selenium deficiency can also impair the T4 to T3 conversion. And selenium deficiency has been associated with a lot of cancer. So that's something that you need to be sure that you measure and keep up your selenium. Unfortunately, both yeast and mold create biotoxins that deplete, that cause a hypothalamic problem with thyroid, adrenal, and sex hormones, as well as ADH. The patients drink and pee all the time. And hypothalamic causes of hypothyroidism, even subclinical, are not recognized by most endocrinologists. So, because mold is a politically incorrect disease, and most people who published in mold have lost their medical licenses, this is something that most doctors don't know anything about. So it's very critical to make sure the patient doesn't have an environmental mold exposure or mold in their sinuses, especially if they've got chronic sinusitis, and get the mold cleared out either with antifungals or with natural treatments. But you need to get the fungus cleared out, and then you have to detox the biotoxin in order to actually fix the problem causing the low thyroid.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And like we had mentioned earlier, fungi are especially bad because, number one, it's an infection, and it produces toxins and other prooxidants. But the other thing, too, is it grows so slowly. Generally, the reason an infection, viral or bacterial, for example, can resolve quickly is when you, number one, use an effective therapy, obviously, but number two, because of the fact that they're multiplying rapidly, and nearly all positive treatments of infections have to do with interrupting or poisoning or being toxic to the reproductive process of the virus or the bacteria. And when you have a pathogen that only multiplies very, very slowly, you can still treat it and get positive results, but it's always going to be much longer and not as easy. And the physical factors, like especially in the sciences, are important so that drainage can be effective, et cetera.
Well, let me tell you what I treat. I treat mold in the chest wall. Defective saline implants grow mold inside the implant and around the implant, and so we have mold spores in the chest wall. And if you don't treat with antifungals antifungals that the fungus is sensitive to around the time of surgery, then the fungal elements, which are spores, get embedded in the scar tissue and continue to grow, and they're immunologically privileged because they're in scar tissue. I had one patient who every time she was hugged with these infected breast implants got an anaphylactic reaction, and we grew out penicillamine from inside her implants, and she was allergic to penicillin. So there's something very interesting.
Well, you also bring out a point that I think needs to be emphasized, which is chronic infections promote other infections, okay? So everything that a chronic infection does, increasing systemic body-wide inflammation, all this brings down and suppresses your immune function so that other infections can much more easily take hold. And certainly clinically, experience-wise, I can't say there's extensive studies on this, but I've known for a long time now, working with Dr. Huggins, et cetera, that when you take infected teeth out, lots of other stuff clears up, too, and other chronic infections can clear up, too. It really appears that having a chronically infected tooth is like at the top of the pyramid of toxicity. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things that can bring your bring your health down, but when you remove one grossly infected tooth and there aren't any other infected teeth in the mouth, statistically speaking, I can tell you you've done an enormous amount for that patient's well-being. And the other thing I would emphasize is the main point of the book. The main point of the book is we now have new technology, well, new over 10 years anyway, that picks up infected teeth that regular x-ray does not see. Now, if a tooth doesn't hurt and a regular x-ray doesn't pick it up, yet that infected tooth can give you a heart attack or cancer, it would seem very logical to say, well, I need to make that 3D x-ray a routine part of my evaluation. It's just like when you're seeing the internist, do you think the internist sees you walk into the office and say, oh, wow, you're a diabetic. I think you've got about a blood sugar of 235 now, I'd say. Of course not. They have no idea if you're diabetic until they measure the blood sugar. And you have no idea if somebody has a pain-free, asymptomatic, infected tooth that's destroying their health unless you make this test a routine part of medical evaluation and long-term follow-up.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is most doctors don't think about the teeth at all.
Well, I mean, that's why I write the book. I mean, I can only do so much on my own. I will say this. I've been doing quite a few lectures on this type of material even before the book came out and since.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the physicians and the dentists that listen to me, they're all pretty stunned. And a lot of them have already initiated 3D x-rays as part of their routine dental evaluations and part of their routine medical evaluations. So, I mean, will it eventually become state-of-the-art? I don't know. All I could do is put the information out there and tell physicians and dentists that most of your patients do not have to suffer with the conditions that they have to the degree that they do, okay?
Right.
It's not normal, even if you live to be 85, to be sick the last half of your life, okay?
Right.
It's normal, like the wild animals, if you will, to be healthy until you decline and die over a relatively short period of time due to generalized burnout, if you will. But it's not normal to be chronically sick. Anybody that thinks having high blood pressure or lupus or heart disease or arthritis or Alzheimer's or any neurologic disease just has bad luck and that's what they have to deal with and live with because that's what they had the bad luck and resulted with, that's completely wrong. There is no disease that is just bad luck. There's always a reason. The coronary arteries are always inflamed before you start to develop coronary artery disease. And guess what? The inflammation and the studies show that very close to 100% of the time, the coronary artery has oral pathogens living inside the artery wall and inside the plaques that continue to grow.
Yeah, and the true cause of disease is often actually masked. I interview a lot of whistleblowers on this in this radio show, and for example, Alzheimer's has been linked to an organophosphate chemical used to kill warble flies in meat, and so people with detoxification defects can get Alzheimer's from that, as well as cyanobacter. Which is concentrated in fish, is known to increase a chemical called DMAA in the brain and cause Alzheimer's. That's actually in the medical literature. But these toxic illnesses that people that discover it try to publicize, they're actually attacked. They're actually they try to eliminate them. And so it's obvious that certain powers that be don't want the actual cause of disease to be known, because obviously if people just did organic beef, then they could avoid that one risk of Alzheimer's. So it's very, very interesting that the true cause of disease, especially the true cause of cancer, the true cause of heart disease, the true cause, well, your book is on the true cause of heart disease, and the true cause of things like lupus, which is often chemical toxicity, MS, which is an intracellular spirochete, and other autoimmune disease, which is often intracellular mycoplasma and spirochetes. Doctors that promoted that knowledge were attacked and poisoned and or otherwise had they tried to eliminate them. So the true cause of disease is often it's very dangerous to go out and announce some of these things that cause disease.
Well, certainly, and I agree with all that. I wrote another book called Death by Calcium, and I
yeah,
can say
exactly.
that the title of that book is not an exaggeration.
No, it
in
isn't.
In fact, I mentioned earlier that all disease is increased oxidative stress inside and outside the cells, but mostly inside.
Mm-hmm.
And what always, 100% of the time, as best I was able to determine in reviewing the literature, nearly always or always, the increased oxidative stress is caused by increased intracellular calcium. And when you can bring the intracellular calcium levels down, the oxidative stress goes down, the pathology and disease of the cell goes down. Oftentimes, if it's a malignant cell, the malignant cell will show the ability to revert to a normal phenotype, in other words, completely mm-hmm. normalized, all due to this calcium. I mean, to some people that have never heard this before, it might sound crazy, but I can tell you that calcium is a primary carcinogen. Nearly everybody has too much calcium. They may not have too much calcium in their bones, but they have too much calcium in the rest of their body. And when you continue to take the calcium supplements, you feed cancers of all variety, you feed heart disease of all variety, as well as all disease, because
right.
when you increase calcification in the body, we have the studies to show that the more calcification you have, the greater your chance of death from anything called increased all-cause mortality. So
right.
it's not obvious that if something, too much of something, is causing an increased chance of your death from anything, that means it's having a major negative impact on every single cell in your body.
Well, I would love to do an interview with you on that concept. If you've got Death by Calcium, if you could get us a copy of it. I think that that's a there's a couple of things that are so critical. The idea that all cancers are primarily due to increased oxidative stress, I mean, that is like really a critical concept. And that was, I believe that the person that first did that got a Nobel Prize, but it was years ago in the 40s, wasn't it? Do you remember
Otto
the doctor
Warburg,
that?
Otto Warburg, when the oxygen
right,
level drops
exactly.
below a certain point, you have carcinogenesis. Yes, that's Otto Warburg.
And what did that do to medicine? Anything? I mean, did that concept ever get into any of our treatment protocols? I mean, nothing. I mean, it's vitamin C, obviously. High doses of vitamin C is used, and I would love to talk to you about, yeah, about you know, how vitamin C can be used. That's a whole nother hour, I think. But you've got some very, very important ideas here that are basis of things that we have to understand in order to understand human disease.
It's what I often say when I give talks to different groups is that what causes disease is actually profoundly simple. But how in any one given person you optimally address those causes to stop or resolve the disease is where the complexity comes in. But mm-hmm. as we mentioned, the increased oxidative stress is actually, no question about it, the final common denominator. It's just that you can do a lot of things that will harm your health, and they all funnel down to causing a unique pattern of increased oxidative stress in a unique array of cells and tissues. But how you address it might be stopping environmental toxin exposure, might be addressing a peculiar eating habit you have.
Smoking increases oxidative stress.
So any source of toxicity, which covers a lot of stuff, any source of toxicity can give you your own unique problem. And you know, when people say, well, you know, it's hard to believe all toxins do the same thing. At the molecular level, they do the same thing. But, for example, if you inhale cyanide, it quickly goes into your lungs, and because of the unique chemical characteristic of the cyanide molecule, it gets taken up right where it can oxidize or poison the enzymes of respiration that allow oxygen to be incorporated into the cell. And so you very quickly, within a minute or two, die from effectively oxygen starvation. It had nothing to do with oxygen. It all had to do with a toxin uniquely oxidizing the biomolecules that were most important for the assimilation of oxygen. On the other hand, you could have a mercury filling and be exposed to mercury and not get, say, multiple sclerosis until 30 years later because of where it accumulates, how effectively it oxidizes, and what particular unique biomolecules do to its molecular structure that it becomes that it comes into contact with.
And tissue that's degenerating because of oxidative stress, which can be toxic or whatever, all infectious, whatever, is prone to more infection. You made that point earlier. That's why smokers get lung infections more commonly than non-smokers, because that's the tissue that's going to be bathed in the toxins. So detoxification is, well, there's lifestyle factors, and we can go through those at another time, obviously. There's detoxification factors, but then you have some very interesting treatments that we really haven't discussed yet, I hope to discuss in the future, about how to address primary problems with oxidation. We can discuss ozone and vitamin C and other things that address it at a very basic cellular level.
Yes, no, all of those things are important, and it's still somewhat amusing. I mean, we have our redox system, reduction oxidation, and at the microenvironmental level, sometimes when one thing gets naturally oxidized, it has a negative feedback impact on something else. I mean, we're an unlimited number of feedback reactions in the body. And so they say, oh, well, don't take antioxidants. That's going to stop the oxidative stress that's causing this signaling molecule to be triggered. Well, that's crazy, okay, because the consumption of your antioxidants gets into the bloodstream, gets into the lymphatics, and pretty much goes where it needs to go and the amount it needs to go, and any excess gets excreted. You don't suddenly supersaturate the inside of your cell and stop all oxidative stress. That's crazy, but there's a lot of people that say, oh, antioxidants are bad for you because they stop these feedback reactions. But that's silly. And there's absolutely no clinical evidence to support that's true. And that's one point I would make, is so many people and doctors and scientists see an experimental study in a test tube, and they'll give that more credence over, does somebody live longer and feel better taking this amount of vitamin C or another nutrient or not? And that's the gold standard study.
It is.
The rest, if you'll forgive me, is BS. It might give you some insight as to the important interactions that are taking place, and any quality, well-done study is valuable if it gives you any information at all. You just can't overinterpret it and overuse it and have people end up doing things that are in their worst interest, not in their best interest, because you did a study and you want to get recognition.
Right. Well, it seems like mainstream media often will take these studies and blow them out of proportion in an effort to promote things that would decrease longevity, too. I think there might be an agenda there. But we're coming up on the end.
Fake news is not limited to politics. We have a lot of it in science. And I like to say, close with this comment. My observation has been, and I'm sad to say this, but I mean it 100%, there's more politics in medicine than there is in politics.
There you go. I agree with you 100%. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
My website is peakenergy.com, P-E-A-K, and energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y.com. And that pretty much gives you access to a lot of articles, the books I've written, and the ability to contact me as well.
Great. Well, I'll have Sia reach out to you and see if you'd like to come back and discuss one of your other books with us, including some of the treatment modalities that you have a great deal of experience with that I think we need to help the listeners understand that there are things you can do to help reverse these things. We didn't go into treatment that much. I think it would be useful to do that.
That sounds fine. I'd be happy to come back.
Great. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been interviewing Dr. Levy on hidden epidemic, silent oral infections cause most heart attacks and breast cancers, and hope to have him back again to talk about how to fight oxidative stress generally in your life. Join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.